Chelsea here. I'm the host of the Glow Women's podcast, and today I have my friend Tegan.
Hi, everybody.
So excited to have her on. Today we're talking about how she fully trusts God. As a Glow woman, we have to know how to trust God. As a Christian, we have to know how to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." As Glow women, to live authentically, we must put our full trust in God. Why is it important to solely trust in Jesus?
Who else would we trust, Chels? literally, like, it's like if you think of the person who loves you the most, which would probably be your mama. But, you know, the person who loves you most in life and wants the best for you, they're human and they're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And the only person that we can fully put our trust in is Jesus. So yeah, who else would we trust, Chels?
That's a great intro. I mean, there's not, if you think about it, it's really hard to trust people. Mm-hmm. You can't trust people. It says not to put your trust in riches. Yeah. It says to put your trust in the Lord, mm-hmm. and he's our foundation. It says, in the Bible, it says that he is our foundation. And if we do not have a secure foundation in the Lord, our life is just going to be up and down. Mm-hmm. If we don't trust in God with everything, our life will be crazy.
Yeah.
Psalms 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Mm-hmm. We have someone to go to when we need help. Mm-hmm. We have someone to go to talk to. We have someone that we can confide in and rely on. Mm-hmm. When we trust in the Lord, the Bible says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. You know, there's a lot of promises. We were talking about that before. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 16:20 states that he will give us joy and happiness when our trust is in him. Mm-hmm. We will have peace when we trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, Jeremiah 17:5-8 states that we will be fruitful and successful if we trust in the Lord. And those who trust in the Lord will be protected from evil. Psalms 37:39-40. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about that earlier. That's just a few of the promises that God gives us when we trust in him.
Mm-hmm. He gives us so many promises, and it's because we need them.
Yeah.
It's because if we don't have them, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
Because often what keeps us going is the promises.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because it's like the good thing.
Yeah.
It's like when you, well, not when I, because I don't work out, but when Chelsea works out, I'm sure it's not like I'm just loving this. You're probably not loving every second of the workout.
I feel like I'm dying usually.
And the only thing that keeps you going is the end result, right?
The hope for a good end result.
Yeah. And so if you had no hope for an end result, you would never do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know a lot of people might be thinking, you know, how do I put my trust in God? You know, how would you say that we put our trust in Jesus?
So first, you have to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's key. You have to have a relationship with him. Second, we have to know his will.
Yeah.
And then believe that will.
Yeah.
And so you can get the will of God from the word.
Yeah.
But then you also have to get your specific will from him himself, which means you have, back to number one, you have to have a relationship. There has to be a dialogue with God.
Yeah.
And then when he tells you, because often God, with most people, including myself, he shows you the end from the beginning, mm-hmm. and he doesn't show you the middle.
In between.
And the end is usually like this really amazing, epic thing. And it's like, how do you get there? So you have to believe that. And then the third thing is we have to follow him. And following him is honestly the majority of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get straight to that destination. And the majority of this whole walk with God is this middle part where you're trying to get to it. And you have to listen to him, be in constant dialogue, constantly do what he says, constantly trust so many mm-hmm. things that, you know, that is the journey of putting our trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
And we know we have promises at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Putting our trust in Jesus can be difficult. Like mm-hmm. as just a human being, mm-hmm. you know, whenever you're looking around and you're like, I don't see the promise.
Yeah.
And in the in between, you know, even if you think about the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, that was their in between before they got to the promise. And there was a lot of trials.
Yes.
And if you think about it, that is a lot like the Christian walk. It's not going to be completely butterflies and roses. It's not easy. No. And I'm sure we all can attest to that. Being Christians for a while.
Anything that humans are involved in is not going to be a smooth process.
Right.
If we could take that human sinful nature out of it, then it would probably be a really quick process. But unfortunately, when humans are involved, we have to walk through not just the process God gives us, but we have to walk through us.
Yes, our flesh.
Our flesh.
Yes.
And sometimes that's what keeps us in a longer process isn't God's process. It's us getting all the stuff out.
Yeah.
And then also one thing I think that we tend to do – well, I know we do this. I know that we do this. So I feel like – we can oftentimes, as humans, we want to put our trust in something we can see physically.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes we'll put our trust in even people or things. Mm-hmm. Like we can put our trust in a career.
Mm-hmm.
We can put our trust in money.
Mm-hmm.
We can put our trust even in good things like leadership, which we should trust leadership. But then also if you put everything in a person or a thing, if that person makes a mistake because every person does.
Yeah.
Because they're human.
Yeah.
Or if that thing goes away, if that career fails, or if money goes away, then
you're going to be shattered.
You're going to be shattered. And then that's, I think, is when we that's when bitterness comes in our heart.
Yeah.
Is it's actually because we made an idol of a thing or a person.
Yeah. I was actually talking to someone recently who grew up in church. Had, I don't know the full experience, had really bad experience in the church, probably a little bit of religious, spiritual abuse, probably some, you know, hard times growing up in the family and completely turned away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where there's bitterness. And it's been like through a decade that this person has been living in this bitterness. And, you know, that does say a lot, is when our trust is in people, our lives will be crazy. It will be up and down. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, you know, that's why we have to have a firm foundation.
Yeah.
When we have our firm foundation, when people fail us, it's hard, but we can get back up and know that our trust is in God and say, okay, God, this is what happened, and I'm going to confide in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my trust in you, and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then unbelief, you know, it has a role in that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when we don't have the foundation in Christ, we allow unbelief to control us.
Yeah.
And I love the story of Abraham because it says in the Bible that he believed until the end. His faith was unwavering. And I pray all the time, oh, God, make me like Abraham. Like, I want unwavering faith like that. I just can't imagine to go through years waiting for this process and still just be completely, like, in belief that God said it, he's going to do it.
But what's even better about Abraham, Chelsea, is that he wasn't unwavering.
Yeah.
Like, if you read the story,
exactly,
like, he wasn't.
Yeah.
But in the end, he was. And so it was counted to God like he always was. And thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God that we can, even when we do waver, if we come back to ourselves and come back to, like, God, that we can still be counted as if we never wavered.
Mm-hmm.
And I praise God for that because how many times have we wavered,
you
know?
Yeah. Yes. So in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, with all of your heart, do not focus on your own understanding. So ways that we can trust Jesus is not on our own understanding. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but we still have the foundation to continue to trust in the Lord. And like you were saying earlier, it's learning to dwell in the secret place of prayer and worship and in his presence. Psalms 91, it talks about dwelling in the secret place. It also talks about learning to speak, you know, speaking truth instead of speaking our circumstance or speaking unbelief. And then it also talks about how, you know, God wants us to come to him as children. Mm-hmm. And children trust in their parents with humility and dependence. And this is how God wants us to come to him, to allow him to control everything in our mm-hmm. lives. And that takes surrender. And a lot of times that takes a daily surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, the walk of the Christian walk is a daily surrender. Mm-hmm. And we're not perfect, and that's okay. But it is, it's a surrender.
Yeah.
Sometimes life can be difficult and throw us curveballs, Hegan. The Bible says that we will have troubles, but God will deliver the righteous mm-hmm. from them all. How can we put our trust in God even in difficult times?
Well, we were talking before, and I was saying that it's not only that you're, like, even if I tell you, you're going to have to trust God in difficult times. Actually, I would say it's a requirement for a Christian walk to trust God in difficult times. Like, yeah. Testing times are literally essential to the life of faith. Mm-hmm. In James 1:2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, yeah. which, my Lord, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the promise in James is that it's honestly promising you, you're going to have difficult times. You're going to be tested. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through the fire. And then that's going to produce patience in you. Mm-hmm. And then if you remain patient, that you're going to come out of that trial lacking nothing. Mm-hmm. So all those things that you've read before, all those promises, you're going to gain all those things through the trial if you stay in the fight of faith and you stay believing God. You're going to come out lacking nothing. And the biggest temptation for me, and probably for a lot of our listeners, is especially if you're saved, it's not really, I want to quit, even though you might feel that way at times. I mean, where else are you going to go? It's like we're Peter. Like, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
It's not even going back into sin. It's oftentimes like that wanting to help God out. Like, if something's taking a really long time, you want to help God out in a little ways and manipulate the situation, almost take a little bit of control. And so that oftentimes is the biggest temptation for me, because God doesn't need our help. And then James answers that too. In James 1:19, he's talking about trials. And then he tells us what to do in the trials. And this is honestly it's so hard. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It tells us, he says, be swift to hear.
Mm.
So I take that as be swift to hear God. In your trials, be swift to hear what God is saying, and then be slow to speak.
Yeah.
And that's where I mess up, because I talk incessantly. And so sometimes what I say that comes out of my mouth isn't actually the will of God, you know? And so I can declare stuff.
I think we all do that.
Yeah,
you know?
We all.
Yeah.
And then he says, be slow to wrath.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes.
Yeah, because a lot of times you want to get angry at things. And it says, the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God.
Wow.
So it's like, be quick to hear God and slow to do everything else.
Yeah.
And that's so hard, especially if you're someone who wants things done right now. Yeah. And I think in our society and our culture and the time, we want things done quick.
Yeah.
And this is like the opposite. Be quick to hear and slow to everything else.
Yeah.
No, back to patience.
Yeah. And trusting God during difficult times. I like when it says it talks about fighting the fight of faith. Cause a lot of times it does feel like a fight,
mm-hmm.
like you were explaining.
Yeah.
It's like we were saying earlier, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It is a fight, and we have to use the word of God mm-hmm. and the tools that God gives us mm-hmm. to make it through and continue to believe and continue to trust even in the difficult times.
Definitely.
Yeah. How have you been able to trust Jesus in your own life, Tegan?
Well, number one, I go back to when I was 14 and God basically gave me a promise of this is what I have for you. And I've held on to that my whole life, even though it doesn't make any sense at times. And so it can even feel like a pipe dream sometimes.
Yeah.
But I have seen him be faithful to me in my whole life. I've seen him be faithful to my parents. I've seen him be faithful to my spiritual mother. I've seen him be faithful, and seeing the proof of his faithfulness has kept me in a place of believing. And so I also think of I went to a Christian school and I had a Bible school teacher. He taught us, we had a whole year where we went through Pilgrim's Progress, which as like how over old I was, I don't know, a teenager, it was very boring. But like, honestly, I'm so thankful because I understand why he made us do that, because since then I've always seen my life in that way of that, like that book, The Pilgrim's Progress, where it's a journey and you go through different things. And so when I'm on this journey and I'm going through different things, I know that it's to get me to this end result of what God has for me. And honestly, the biggest process is getting the junk out of my heart. But I'm so thankful for the process, because I think of King Saul, who in the Bible, I don't really see him going through a wilderness or testing season. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is the first time, like, he wins a battle, he erects an idol to himself. Mm. And so we need those testing seasons. And so when we're
in, to keep us humble,
to get all the junk out, mm-hmm. to get it all out, to have, so that we can have pure hands and a clean hands and a pure heart, so that we can ascend the hill of the Lord is what we want. And then I actually wrote this, and I keep this actually on my desk. So this is Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forevermore. This part I love. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, because there are some times in our life where it feels dark.
Yeah.
And we have a promise that light will arise in our darkness because we're upright. And God is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and leads. He conducts his affair with justice. He will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. And then this last part is the hardest. He will not fear bad news. Everyone fears bad news. Yeah. But it says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting confidently, relying on and believing the Lord. His heart is upheld and he will not fear. So I keep that on my desk to encourage me, because I believe what you meditate on is what you believe. Yeah. So I try to meditate on the right things. But I think I thought about what has actually been my journey, and this is what I can say to even our listeners: if you're in a journey and you're not really sure what to do and it's hard and maybe you're in a dark place, ask God for a word. He wants to tell you a mm-hmm. word. And there are times in my life where I got a word, and then about 5 hours later, I needed another word.
Yeah.
Because it's been we're those times where it's been really hard. Yeah. Like when my dad was walking through cancer, God gave – and the good thing about God is he will give you as many words as you need.
Yeah.
And so if you seek him and ask him constantly for a word, he'll give you a word. And then you hold on to that word, and you hold on to it with all everything in your heart, even if you have to write it down on a sticky note and put it everywhere in your, put it on your mirror, put it on your car mirror, put it everywhere. Whatever it takes to meditate and hold on that word, you do it. And then you have to do what he says, even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And even when other people tell you not to. Yeah. If you know God told you to do it, you do that thing. And then I would say, and this has been a hard one for me, is to, especially in testing seasons, yield and surrender.
Yeah.
And don't try to help and manipulate.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we kind of like put the brakes on what God is trying to do in our lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we even might think it's the enemy, but it's actually like God refining us.
Oh, yeah.
And I think up until like the last couple years of my life, it had been kind of like a refining process mm-hmm. in my life. And like you were saying, through the season mm-hmm. where it felt really dark and hard in certain times, God would literally just bring a word from someone yeah. random. Mm-hmm. It would happen like every couple of months, mm-hmm. like just a word, and he would give that to me. Mm-hmm. So I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And you can get in a season, and this is a hard place to be. But there comes a place where I've met people that are in such a dark place.
Yeah.
That maybe they've been believing for a prodigal.
Yeah.
And it's been years.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse and worse and worse because it usually gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And it's got worse and worse. And there comes a time where it's like hope starts to hurt. Even hope hurts.
Hope deferred, yeah.
And it can hurt. And so in those times, the only thing I can say is, even though it hurts, to press in harder mm-hmm. after God.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those times, like when we see in the Psalms where King David, well, he's not a king yet, when David's in the cave mm-hmm. and it's dark, mm-hmm. these are dark times. And he's, you know, the Psalms are like, it'll be so depressing. And then all of a sudden, it's like something within him, his spirit,
springs up with praise yes. or thankfulness.
Yes. Yeah. And it's those places that lift us out of that.
Yeah.
And that we begin to hope again.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have to also pray and declare God's will. So like if we're in a circumstance and that circumstance is not in alignment with what God tells us, mm-hmm. we have to constantly pray and declare what God says instead of just staring at that situation.
Yeah.
Because if we stare at that situation, it's going to be like, oh, this is bad. This is bad. But if we instead turn our eyes upward and not look at that situation and say, God, I know what you said about this. I know, like, for example, if my child is not serving you, say my child is in a wrong relationship and is, you know, in the world, and I see this, I'm going to stare at this, I'll be like, this is terrible. But if I lift my eyes and I say, God, I know that you actually said that my daughter is going to be a worship leader, that she's going to serve you, that she's going to be married, that she's going to have children who follow you, and I believe that, and I declare that. Then all of a sudden, we start to believe what God says over this thing, and eventually this thing is going to align with yeah. what's coming out of our mouth, what God told us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So,
yeah. And that actually reminds me of Psalm 91, which I talked about earlier. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So, you know, when you were talking about David in the Psalms, it says in Psalms 40, David remembered how God delivered him. So even if you're going through a difficult circumstance mm-hmm. now, you're in a wilderness season, you're having a really hard time trusting the Lord, you can look back on the times that God delivered yeah. you, or even maybe not you, but mm-hmm. other people,
yeah.
and remember that. And it says in Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the mm-hmm. slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is David, you know, remembering mm-hmm. coming out of a serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just remembering where God brought you from, remembering the breakthroughs, you know, even the little things in your life
mm-hmm.
is helpful in trusting God and trying times.
You know what I actually think God gave me the best advice? Of course he did. It was actually the beginning of this year. And I felt like the Lord told me, this year, like he said one thing about the year. He said, lift up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really think about trusting God, that is actually, if I could say one thing, it'd be, I mean, all this has been good, but lift up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you lift up your eyes, you're taking your eyes off the circumstance mm-hmm. and onto God.
Yeah.
And that's hard when circumstances are around you.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look up, we are looking at God. We're knowing His promises over our lives,
yeah.
And so all of a sudden, it becomes a lot easier to believe.
Yeah.
And a lot easier to see from the perspective of heaven.
Yeah.
So when we lift up our eyes, mm-hmm. and it becomes a lot easier actually to walk through things mm-hmm. is when our eyes are on those things.
Yeah. So that's good. Well, thank you for sharing, Tegan.
Yes, thanks for having
me. It was so fun
Chels.
Having you on the podcast, and I really hope that this blesses all of our listeners today. Thank you for listening.